Well, it was, excuse me, it was back in 2005 that Linda and I took a little trip down to Kentucky. We went down to visit Mammoth Cave. Anybody ever been to Mammoth Cave? Big hole in the ground, huh? I mean, that was big. We stayed down there a couple days. We visited Mammoth Cave and some of the caves around that cave. And then we headed back toward Ohio. And as we were going along the highway, Linda spotted a sign that said, Lincoln's birthplace. Visit Lincoln's birthplace. And she's a real big history buff. I mean, a real big history buff. And so she started to plead. We've got to go. We've got to go see where Lincoln was born. And this was back in the olden days. We didn't have a GPS. Back before the Civil War. And we had our AAA map, right? And so she opens up the map and she says, it's this far off the highway. It's only a 16th of an inch off the highway. And she just kept it up. And what I did, guys, what we a lot of times do, I capitulate. I said, okay, we'll go. And I found out something. That much on a map can be an awful long way. It was almost an hour later that we got to Hodgkinsville, Kentucky, the place where Lincoln was born. And if you've ever been there, they have a replica of the log cabin in which he was born. And we toured that and toured the grounds there. But they had a plaque that was there where he was born. And the plaque recorded an interesting scrap of conversation that supposedly took place when Lincoln was born. It reads like this. Any news down to the village, Esri? Well, Squire McLean's gone to see Madison sworn in. An old spellman tells me this Bonaparte fella has captured most of Spain. What's the news out here in the neighborhood? Nothing, nothing tall, except a new baby born to Tom Lincoln's. Nothing ever happens out here. Interesting. Nothing ever happens out here. I wonder if the shepherds that were grazing their sheep on the hills of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago kind of felt like that. There's a musical, it's called The Child of Promise by Michael and Stormy O'Martin. And in that musical, there's a song entitled, Nothing Ever Happens to a Shepherd. Listen to the words. It's cold outside in this God-forsaken place, and we're stuck here with 1,000 sheep. While life is exciting for everyone else, the highlight of our day is sleep. It's lonely out here in this isolated job. Our position is without esteem. We're socially challenged. We're society's scourge. We're not exactly every woman's dream. Shepherds have a humble purpose. Of our fate, few people care. Sometimes I wonder if God knows we exist. If he does, he's forgotten where. Nothing ever happens to a shepherd. Life is boring as can be. While exciting things occur all over the world, nothing ever happens to me. Well, folks, that was about to change for some shepherds. Would you take your Bibles, open to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read a familiar passage, but I hope it just doesn't become so familiar that we really miss the wonder of what happened 2,000 years ago. In Luke 2, I'd like to read verses 8 through 20 and take another look at these Christmas shepherds. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then. See this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The Christmas shepherds. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we just pray. This is a well-known, common text. But Lord, what it records here is anything but common. And I pray today that, Lord, you would meet us as we go over this text, that we would have a visitation from you, and that you would speak to our hearts and excite our hearts here today with the message of this text. And Lord, help us not to be the same. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I'd like to point to the identity of the shepherds. Who were these shepherds? What do we know about shepherds? First of all, their social status. You know, throughout the history of Israel, and even back before Israel became a nation, the occupation of being a shepherd was an honorable occupation. First shepherd in the Bible was who? Anybody know? Abel. Abel was the first shepherd in the Bible. And then people like Abraham, he was a shepherd. Isaac, Jacob, Moses. You remember Moses when he ran out from Egypt, he became a shepherd. And maybe the most famous shepherd in the Old Testament, David. King David was a shepherd. And even God in the Old Testament is called our shepherd. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. He reveals himself as a shepherd. It was an honorable occupation in times past. But when we move to the first century, the occupation of being a shepherd had lost its luster. Shepherds made up one of the lowest classes of people in society, coming in about a 16th of an inch above a leper. I mean, they were not considered a valuable people. They were very looked down upon. One of the Jewish writings called the Talmud records, "No help is to be given to heathens or to shepherds." Another writing called the Mishnah describes shepherds as incompetent and says, "No one should feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who's fallen into a pit. Just let him in the pit." Shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean, and that was because the job of a shepherd was 24/7. I mean, you didn't get to take breaks or anything. It was a 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day job. So shepherds generally didn't get to religious services. And so they were considered ceremonially unclean, unclean. And because they were around sheep all the time, they what? They smelled. They smelled like sheep. You ever smell a sheep? Linda raised a sheep when she was in college, Candida, and entered her into the farm show up at Penn State University. One blue ribbon, right? She did. I'd go and visit Candida with Linda. When she would groom her, she stunk. And I'll tell you, you stay around sheep long enough, if shepherds stay around sheep, no, stay around sheep long enough, sheep can stink. And so, you know what? They weren't considered. They didn't like them to be in worship services anyway. They moved around a lot because they had to feed them. So they would move them around a lot. So they moved around a lot. And therefore, they were considered almost like gypsies. And like gypsies, they confused many times two words, thine and mine. They were known for taking and stealing. They were not considered very nice people. Their testimony was not allowed in a court of law because they were considered unreliable. They were known to be brash. They were known to have foul mouths and were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. Socially, they were this far above a leper. They were considered on the level of a tax collector or a dung sweeper. Now that's low, right? That's pretty low. They were the lowest of the low. Considered now, verse 8. Look at verse 8. Look at what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, now there were in the same region scribes keeping watch over their scrolls. It doesn't say, now in the same region there were kings keeping watch over their courts. It says, now in the same region there were shepherds staying out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Listen, the only birth announcement given was given to shepherds. Wasn't given to Caesar in his palace. It wasn't given to kings in their courts. It wasn't given to the high and mighty, to the scribes in the temple. The only birth announcement that night was given to lowly shepherds, a bunch of uneducated, outcasts, shepherds. What does that say? What's that say to us? Well, one thing, there's no partiality with God. No partiality with God. Everyone, listen, everyone matters to God. And I thought about that. If somehow Jesus had come in our day, who would he appear to? Do you think he would have appeared or the announcement would have been made in the Capitol in Washington, D.C.? To the congressman, or in the White House, or maybe to some great religious leader that we have in our city. You know who? I thought, you know, maybe if it happened today, you know what I think it might have, the announcement might have been given to? People that live down under the bridge in Akron. The lowest. You know, God has regard for the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. The birth announcement was given to shepherds. To shepherds. Even from his birth, Jesus moved among the lowly. The lowly. Everyone matters to God. You here today? You matter to God. You matter to God. Thank God. Their social status, they were low lowest of the low. But there's special service. There's special service. Many Bible scholars believe, in all likelihood, that these shepherds were special shepherds. You see, the temple in Jerusalem, every day in the temple, in the morning and in the evening, they sacrificed an unblemished lamb. Every morning, every evening, there was a sacrifice. And to make sure that they had an unblemished lamb to sacrifice each day, the temple authorities had their own flocks of sheep that they would draw from to get these sacrifices. And those flocks were shepherded in the hills around Bethlehem. And so, in all likelihood, these shepherds were shepherding the very lambs that were going to be used for the sacrifice in the temple. Now just think about that. Jesus, they were the first ones to come and see the perfect lamb, the Lamb of God, who was going to take away the sins of the world. These were those shepherds. These were shepherds that would see the Lamb of God. It was to these Christmas shepherds that God broke in. He broke in. The angel, the Lord, suddenly stood before them. God broke into time. Many of you know Max Lucado and have read Max Lucado. I love, he has a way of putting things. Listen to what he says. An ordinary night with ordinary sheep and ordinary shepherds. And were it not for God, who loves to hook an extra on the front of ordinary, the night would have gone unnoticed. The sheep would have been forgotten. The shepherds would have slept the night away. But God, I love this, but God dances among the common. And that night, he did a waltz. The black sky exploded with brightness. The sheep that had been silent became a chorus of curiosity. One minute the shepherds were dead asleep. The next they were rubbing their eyes, staring into the face of an alien. The night was ordinary no more. The angel came in the night because that's when lights are best seen and that's when they are most needed. God comes into the common for the same reason. Amen. God often chooses to do his greatest work through people or things we normally think of as weak and unimportant. God uses, speaks to, and breaks into the ordinary. Amen. God, break in today. Lord, we're an ordinary church. We're not big. We're not a super church. God, we're ordinary people. There's no superstars here. God, break in. Amen. Break in today. Like you did to those shepherds back 2,000 years ago. Oh, that he would break in. Amen? Break into my life. Break into this church. Today, Lord. Today. That's the identity of the Christmas shepherds. But let's look at the message to the Christmas shepherds. The angels brought a message. And I broke this message into two parts. There was a peripheral message, kind of an outer message. And then there was the primary message. But look with me, first of all, at the peripheral message. And verse 10, the first thing the angel says here, the angel said to them what? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Now, folks, they needed that, right? I'm going to tell you, if God would break in today, if an angel would all of a sudden manifest himself, I'll tell you what would we want him to say? Fear, get off your face. You know, fear not. I'm going to tell you. And you know what? There could be angels all around. I can't see the spirit world. I know what the Apostle Paul said. You know, when he's talking about the worship service, he said, you know, you better do it right when you worship because of the angels. As though they keep watch over worship services. But if one of them would manifest himself here today and, oh my, you talk about fear, we would be in dread. Did you notice that in all the accounts, in the Christmas accounts, all the fear nots? You know, the angel appeared to Zacharias. He said, fear not, Zacharias. Your prayers have been answered. We heard your prayers. God heard your prayers. Fear not, Mary. Fear not. You're blessed of all women. You're blessed of all women. Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. For that baby in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. You notice all the fear nots? So the angel appears and says, fear not. And boy, is that a message we need today? Amen. I'm going to tell you, all you have to do is look around you. And I'll tell you, I'm glad, fear not, fear not. But you know what? That's not the primary message. That's a result, I think, of the primary message. That's not the primary message. There's another part of the message that's not the primary message. It's peripheral. It's down in verse 14. See the last part of verse 14? King James says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. You know, you think about it, just that little phrase, peace on earth, goodwill to men, that's the secularist Christmas. That's the secularist Christmas. And they leave out the first part of the verse. Glory to God in the highest. See? And you know what? There will never be peace on earth and men treating people the way we should treat people until we give glory to God in the highest. Amen. That'll never happen. That's the secularist Christmas. Oh yeah, what's Christmas about? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, several years ago, every year, let me just say this, every year I send Christmas cards to my relatives. I send them out every year. And one year passed in past time. I used to design my own Christmas cards. And so I had a computer program and it had cards. It's a card program. Do you ever see one of those? You can get those card program. And so I decided I'm going to design my own Christmas card. I went into that card program in the computer. And there were a number of them that said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then you open them up, said nothing about Jesus. Happy holidays. You know, may the sweet love of Christmas, you know, fill your house, you know. There was nothing about Christ. And I went through one after another, after another, after another. Nothing. And finally I came to one. I thought, oh, maybe this one. On the front, it had the wise men, the magi, riding on their camels coming toward Bethlehem. And I thought, oh, this one's gotta have the message here. So I clicked on, and you know, can open them up and find out what's inside. You know what the message was inside? If wise women would have come, they would have asked directions. Yeah, that was it. That was it. They missed the whole thing. You see, I'll tell you what. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Never is going to happen until Jesus comes. Never is going to happen until we give glory to God in the highest. That's kind of a peripheral message, though. What's the primary message? What was the message of the angels that came to the shepherds? Well, look at verse 10. First of all, I'm going to tell you what the message was. What it was. It was, first of all, is a message of good news and great joy. It was a message of good news. It's the gospel of Christ. That's the word there. The word good news is to preach the gospel. It's the gospel. It's good news. Where do you find good news today? You don't find good news on CNN. Or even on Fox News, you don't find good news. I took my car in to get it serviced over at Claiborne Ford. And as it was being serviced, I waited in the waiting room there, and they have a big television, and so I'm trying to study for my sermon. And on comes the news. I'm not kidding you. In the first 5 minutes, they told of 6 murders. And I kept on looking. What? Another one? Another one? Another one? I looked over at a couple across the way, and they just went, where do you find good news? I'll tell you where you find good news. You find good news right here. Yeah. You find good news in the gospel. And it's news of great joy. The word great is mega. We have mega malls. This is mega joy. This is a great message. We have good news, man. And the angels brought good news. And it's not only a message of good news, it's a universal message. Do you see it there? Which shall be to all the people. All people. Red, yellow, black, white. All the people. Rich people, poor people, all the people, children, teenagers, middle-agers, seniors, all the people, educated, uneducated, all the people, high status, low status, all the people, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every language group. Wow! It's to all people. That's why Doug and Paula, Zelma, they could stand up here and say, we're going all over the world. Why? Do you remember his first point? We've got the what? The gospel. We got the good news. And it's good news for here, but it's good news down in Nicaragua where they came from. It's good news over in India. It's good news over in the Middle East. It's good news for the world. This is a universal message. Wow. That's why, folks, that's why we built 15 missions churches. Because we've got good news. That's why this church sends out missionaries. That's why this church goes to the Dominican Republic. That's why this church, they go to the Dominican Republic with CVCA. Because we've got good news. That's why we go over to Transnistria. Why? Because we've got good news. That's why Jimmy, every year, pretty much goes to Pittsburgh because they need the gospel. It's good news for all the people. Praise God. Oh, man, that's good. That's good. And it's a message of good news. It's a universal message. It's a historic message. Folks, don't miss this. This is good stuff. Is born this day in the city of David. It's an actual event. It happened a specific time in a specific place, and that's important. Why is that important? Because our faith as Christians is grounded in historic truth. Amen. Do you realize how important that is? Because many of the religions of the world are not like that. When I was over in Vietnam, I took a tour of what's called Ho Chi Minh City, what used to be old Saigon. And I took a tour, and I got a tour guide. It's a young lady. Her name was Lam. I'll never forget that. Lam. And she took me into, I believe it was a museum. I don't think it was, we went to some temples, but I think this was in a museum. And she showed me this statue, this idol of one of the Hindu gods. She was Hindu. And the statue was of a of a of a of a young boy from the neck down, but his head was the head of an elephant. And she said, this is one of our gods. Ganeshi, this is one of our gods. And let me tell you the story, she said, about him. And basically, one of the gods got mad at him. It was a young boy, a god got mad at him and cut his head off. And Shiva, she was mad at that god for cutting this little boy's head off, so she was going to destroy everything. And the god said, listen, I'll raise him up from the dead, and I'll make him a object of worship forever and ever. So he raised up the body, and he cut off an elephant's head and put it on the little boy, and now he's a god. And she told me this. And I said, Lamb, where in the world did you come up with that story? You know what she said? I'll never forget. She said, it's a myth. It's a myth. And I looked at her and I said, you mean that you worship this idol? And it's a myth? It's a made up story? She said, sure, yes. And I said, Lamb, can I tell you about a God who made the heavens and the earth, who actually came here in history and entered into history and is an historic person? And she said, okay. And I got a chance to share with her the good news. You see, folks, our faith is not based on myths. It's not based on made-up stories. This is historic fact. At a certain place, on a certain day, God came. On a certain day, in a certain place, the city of David, Bethlehem, God came. He was born. Our message, the message to the angels is a historic message. It's a message about a person. Who is Christ the Lord? Who's Christ the Lord? The one who is born is the Christ. I liked what Doug said last week, didn't you? It's not Jesus Christ like, you know, it was Joseph Christ and Mary Christ had a baby, Jesus Christ. That's not his last name. Yeah. Randy, where are you? Jesus the Christ. The Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that was foretold from of old. The prophets foretold his coming. And now the angel says, listen to the shepherd. It's a boy. And he's the Messiah. And he is the Lord. He's God. He is God. The God whom the whole universe could not contain is lying over there in a manger. Oh, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. The infinite has become an infant. I want you to come back Christmas Eve because we're gonna camp on that. We're gonna let our minds be blown at the mystery of godliness on Christmas Eve as we consider that. But it's about a person. Yes. It's about the Christ. There's been a baby born tonight, and the baby is the Lord God, your maker. Amen. He's over here, lying in a manger. And it's a message not only about a person, it's a message about a Savior. Yeah. About a Savior. For unto you is born this day, not a teacher, not a prophet, not a philosopher, not a reformer, not a miracle worker. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Yeah. There it is. That's the message of Christmas. A Savior is born. God entered the world, and he came to this tiny speck in space to be our Savior. You know, folks, that's why I love this. I love this. Because it shows us what Christmas is about. You see, it's not just about a birth. It is about a birth. It's about more than a birth. It's about an incarnation. Amen. That's the big deal. The birth was ordinary. But God came. But you see, if you see this cradle without that, the cross, you missed it. Amen. You missed it. Because Jesus came to be our Savior. He came to die. You see, God, if he knew our greatest need was for knowledge, he'd have sent an educator. If he knew our greatest need was for money, he'd have sent an economist. If he knew our greatest need was for pleasure, he'd have sent an entertainer. If he knew our greatest need was for social reform, he'd have sent a social worker. If he knew our greatest need was for clean air and deliverance from global warming, he'd have sent Al Gore. But he knew our greatest need was for forgiveness of sin. So he sent a Savior. He sent his own Son so that he might be an offering for our sin. And you see, you wouldn't have a cross without a birth. Someone says, the birth is not important, it's the cross. Well, yeah, it is the cross. It is the empty tomb. But you wouldn't have that without Christ entering in. Amen. This is a message about a Savior. That's the message. And one last thing about this message, it's personal. Yeah. Folks, it's universal. It's for everybody. But you know what? It's personal. It's very personal. In fact, look at the word you. Look at verses 10, 11, and 12. You mark in your Bibles, I mark in my Bible, and I've circled that little you. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news. Verse 11. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. Verse 12, this will be a sign for you. For you. Angel says to the shepherd, Jesus Christ was born, and he's born for you. But you know what? He says that to us. He says that to each one of us. He was born for you, and you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He's born for you. Amen. He's born for you. Wow. This is personal. This is personal. In fact, what I did, maybe if you marked in your Bibles, what I did is I put in the Bible where it says, for unto you is born this day, I put in my name. For unto Les Sutherland is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You can put in your name. For unto, say your name. Unto, do you know your name? Say your name. For unto Les Sutherland is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You can't get more personal than that. This is a personal message. It's a universal message, but it's a personal message. God entered human race to be a Savior, to die for the sin of you, 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 you. It's personal. Amen. And when you hear that message, you know what? You got to respond. You have to respond. You can't slough it off. You can't. Can you imagine the shepherds hear the angels appear and then they go, huh, well, ho-hum, so what? Can you imagine them doing that? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. They didn't. They responded immediately. And their response is an example for us. I'll go through this quickly. The response of the Christmas shepherds, verses 15 through 20. First of all, in verse 15, they believed. They didn't say, let's see if this thing has come to pass. They say, let us go and see this thing which has come to pass. Someone says, well, if I saw a bunch of angels, I'd believe too. But you know what? We have much more than a bunch of angels. We have the completed word of God. We have the truth of God's word. We have the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, have you believed the message of the Christmas angels? Have you believed the message? Have you received the Christ of Christmas? Secondly, they sought the Christ. They sought the Christ. Says they came. King James says they came in haste. Verse 16, my version says they came in a hurry. Halford Lukoc calls this the first Christmas rush. But it was not a rush to the mall to get more stuff. These shepherds rushed to find Jesus. They took time to search for him and find him. And when they found him, the word found there means to find after a search. They sought Jesus. And if we believe the Christmas message, you know what we need to do this Christmas? Seek Jesus. We need to seek the Lord. We need to take concerted effort to seek him. May we not rush to Macy's, but to the Messiah. May we not rush to Sears. Oh, they're closed anyhow. But to the Savior. They believed, they sought Christ. Number three, this is big. They witnessed about Christ. Shepherds were not allowed to testify in the court of law, but God called them to testify about his son. They did not tell a few people. They made it known abroad. They just told the true facts. They told the sayings which had been told to them concerning the child. No embellishments. No Hollywood makeovers. You know, that's why usually most Hollywood films about religious films, I hate them. Because they got to embellish it. How do you embellish the gospel? How do you embellish Christ? They didn't embellish. They just told what had been told to them. These shepherds never went to Bible college. They never took a witnessing program, but they became great witnesses for Christ. What a time witnessing. What a time to witness is Christmas. What a time to hand out tracts. There's tracts right back in that rack. They're going fast. Grab some Christmas tracts. Witness. Tell people about the Lord. That's what the shepherds did. And they worshiped God. Verse 20. They were glorifying and praising God. And again, if we believe the message, we're going to worship God. We're going to be in church, sure. We're going to worship God. We're going to come to God's house and worship him corporately. But we're going to worship him every day. Yeah, but I'm too busy, Pastor. I got presents to get and wrap and all. If you're too busy to worship God, you're too busy. You need to step back and look at the priorities. Amen? We need to worship him. They worshiped him. And then it says they returned to their work and responsibilities. And the shepherds returned. They went back to their old job. But you know what? They were never the same. Their lives were different. They were changed in their whole life long. They never forgot the night when the angels came and brought them the birth announcement of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, may we never be the same. May we experience Christ and may we return, but not the same. What's our response? God came to this world, took on human flesh to be Savior and die for sin, and he did it for you. What's the greatest sin today? Is the greatest sin murder? Terrorist attacks? Is it sexual abuse? What's the greatest sin today? You know what the greatest sin today is? To reject Jesus Christ. after what he did for us, to reject him is the greatest sin. You say, Pastor, I don't reject him. I just haven't received him. To not receive him is to reject him. It's to trample underfoot the blood of the covenant. If you're here today, you've never accepted Christ, receive him. And if you're here today and you are a Christian, man, we've got good news, amen, of great joy, which shall be to all the people. We need to take that news out into our neighborhoods, to where we work, to our families, and we need to spread that good news, because Christ has come to this world. Amen? Amen. Lord, we just bow before you today, and I pray that you would help us to take this message as the shepherds did, Lord. Help us to take their example. Help us to believe. Help us, Lord, to not only believe, but to seek Christ. Help us to be able to witness. And that, what a time, what open doors there are to tell people about Christ. Help us to do that. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's never received Christ as their Savior, help them to today turn from going their way. Turn to Christ and believe and be saved. And Lord, we just ask you to bless us now, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.